for the messing there. For some reason, the laptop always decides to update right before the lecture. I should have realized it would do that. Okay, so welcome to EE452 Wireless and Mobile Networks. And as I'm sure you're all aware, this is one of those modules that is shared by the fourth year and master's cohorts. So if you see unfamiliar faces, they're probably from the other group, and say hello and get to know them. So I'm Jennifer McManus. I see a good few faces I recognize from, again, previous modules. So welcome back. I have my details there, my office, and phone number. Again, the easiest way to reach me is through email, or come up after at the end of the lecture and chat. I'm always happy to talk to people, so if you do have something you want to discuss face-to-face, again, just send me email. I will post office hours soon, but send me email, and you know, we can arrange a time that's sort of convenient to everybody. Okay, just to get the details out of the way, all of the course material will be posted on Moodle. And I am assuming at this point everybody knows how to find Moodle and can work their way around Moodle. If you have any problems with this, if you have access problems, or you have never seen it before, then let me know sooner rather than later. And I'll see what I can do to sort it out. Okay, and just as to the sort of format of the lectures, again, they're in three-hour blocks, which I can't talk for 3 hours, and I'm sure you guys don't want to listen to me nonstop for 3 hours. So typically what I'll do is two blocks with a break in the middle. In some cases, if it makes sense, I might even put two breaks in if they're sort of natural stopping points and let you guys sort of reset and sort of get ready for a new topic. But there'll be at least one break in the middle. So, one last note. I believe the official title of this is Wireless and Network Communications. It will be changed officially to Wireless and Mobile Networks next year. It's a fairly minor point, and just in terms of what you might expect, communications sort of indicates that we'd stay down at the radio layer and sort of talk about signaling and transmission issues for the whole module, and that's not what happens. You know, we broaden out to sort of the design of, and looking at the design of various different types of wireless networks. So again, networks is more of a higher layer or higher level. I won't use the word layer issue. Okay. So, wired networks, and let's just say the internet has been with us for a good while now, in its current form for, as people know it and love it, with Google and Facebook and YouTube for what, 10, 15 years, 20 years maybe. And so people have expectations of how they can interact with networks based on their experience with these wired networks. Okay, so you have all of these things you can do. Go, you know, in terms of communicating via Skype, streaming movies, etc. Okay. Now, the sort of holy grail of the wireless world is to allow you to do that while you're on the move, anywhere, at any time. And so, you know, again, if you're sitting in a train, maybe you still want to be watching a movie on your palm top or your tablet, or in a car, you'll be wanting to sort of make a VoIP call to someone, whatever. Okay. And so this idea of mobility even sort of adds additional things that you might think about doing, like location-based services. So now, not only do you want to be able to do everything you'd expect, but maybe by knowing where you are, certain services might be offered to you based on your location. And of course, you know, one thing people, the sort of vendors want to do is maybe try and sell you stuff based on your location. You know, there's a great little restaurant that's, you know, a block away. Why don't you go there, etc. Okay. And so this sort of an idea is becoming closer to a reality, and probably particularly in the cellular world. It's not there yet, but you have the promise of it with LTE and LTE Advanced. You have the promises of fairly high data rates, and even getting these data rates while you're on the move. Okay, so what's the difference between a wired and a wireless system? Well, obviously the lack of wires. And so, at one level, that's quite straightforward. All you know, you remove the wires, and so you replace them with a radio signal, an optical signal, something like that. Okay. And there are obviously differences between how you can use this new medium and how you can, what you can do with wires, but that will sort of impinge on sort of how we look at things, but we'll go into that later. And the big benefit, again, of not being tied to wires is that you can then move around. Okay. And ideally, what you would like to do is move around and still retain your connectivity. And again, this is what happens in a mobile setting. You're in your car, hopefully with your hands free set, having a conversation as you drive down the road. There's not an infinite range to radio signals, so as you move, you're going to have to change from sort of one physical connection to another physical connection. But what you care about is that that's done in a way that you don't notice it. Okay. And so a lot of things have to happen there. You have to have some idea of the location of the user. You have to have sort of coverage. So the user always has to be able to connect from one point to the next. And then you have to have some mechanism for changing from one connection to another. And again, ideally in a way that the user doesn't have to worry about it. Okay. And so this leads to a number of technical challenges or issues that are different from those of wired networks. And just to sort of go through a laundry list of them. Okay. And the first one is providing services that are similar to what you can get with a wired network. And particularly the issue here is that you have a relatively constrained set of resources. If, for instance, in a wired setting, more bandwidth is required, at least on a long-term basis, you just put in another wire and you get more bandwidth. In a wireless scenario, you can't put in more bandwidth. Essentially, the radio spectrum that you can use is fixed, and you can try and be cleverer and send more information through that spectrum, but there is some limit to that. Okay. And additionally, wireless systems are going to be more susceptible to loss. They're going to be sort of more susceptible to environmental problems. And so, in general, they're not going to necessarily give the same quality of connection as you could potentially obtain with a wired system. And again, it's pushing so that it's quite good, but it's there's still a lot of issues around trying to get a good quality connectivity. Okay. In terms of devices, again, mobility leads to a number of issues and differences, mainly having to do with you sort of wanting to carry your device around as opposed to sit it on a desktop. Okay. And so you would like your devices to be small and lightweight, but lightweight sort of limits the amount of power, and particularly the amount of battery they can have. And it also has, then the amount of power is sort of related also to the amount of processing that the devices can use. The more processing you do, the more power you consume. So, if you think about something like a tablet, you're getting pretty close to ideal, but you still will be consuming power and having battery issues, etc. Okay, again, the resources are fixed. You can't really add extra resources. You can't add sort of within limits extra spectrum. And so, a lot of part of the technical challenge is to get the most you can out of specific resources. And again, the issue is, while sort of sending more bits, getting more bandwidth, how do you sort of maintain acceptable loss rates, etc.? Okay. And in order to deal with that, in order to sort of regulate the sharing of the resources, and we'll see later sort of amongst a number of networks, regulatory bodies allocate the resources. Okay. And so again, in terms of performance, it's, technically it's coming very close, but it's a lot easier to ensure performance in a wired scenario than in a wireless scenario. And again, it's difficult to offer quality of service guarantees. You could argue again that that's the same for wired, but again, you can smooth over a lot of problems in the wired world by just adding resources, which you can't do here. Okay, security is a different issue. You can't stop signals, radio waves from being intercepted. They're just out there for anybody to listen to. And so you need to sort of encrypt your data and come up with protocols to stop the signals. You can't stop them being listened to, but you can stop them being interpreted. And radio waves are also vulnerable to jamming of channels. Okay. And there is the additional issue of coverage and mobility. So again, the signals only have a limited range. And if you want to combine that with mobility and being able to maintain connectivity, then the sort of minimum is that wherever a person goes, there has to be somewhere they can connect to. And then once there is somewhere to connect to, there's the question of connecting in a reasonable and rational fashion, and hopefully being able to maintain that connectivity as you go from one connection point to the next. Okay. So, how do networks do this? Well, the first thing to keep in the back of your mind is that the approaches to doing this have evolved from sort of their wired counterparts, and an idea of, again, taking the wired network and getting rid of those wires. And so the two big examples would probably be the cellular network. So that was an idea of how you provide telephone services in a wireless fashion, and that would have evolved from the telephony networks, or sort of the computer networks, and like thinking about a local area network and local access, and going from wired access, something like Ethernet, to wireless access, so 802.11. Okay. So the design principles of networks pretty much follow the same design principles as wired networks. In the cellular world, you have this, at least historically, and up till very recently, you would have the idea of providing sort of fixed connectivity and a fixed amount of resources, just as in telephony, you would provide an end-to-end channel. And so there would be a separation of concerns, control issues of setting up the resource, reserving the resources, and then issues of transmitting the data. From a data perspective, you would have a layered architecture, sort of again, roughly adhering to the layered principles that you have seen for wired networks. So you would have protocols for dealing with the transmission of the data, so getting it from point A to point B, perhaps medium access or sharing of the medium. Definitely in a wireless system you'll have issues with medium access and sharing of the medium. Then issues of networking and transport, which, again, your wireless may only be sort of in the access connection, in which case the network and transport would be handled as per normal. And then at the top, sort of trying to run distributed applications over all that. Okay. Now, in the case of wireless networks, it's been observed that this layered model has a number of inefficiencies, so various parts, various functions get replicated at different layers, and the layers don't talk to each other, so they don't optimize based on what they might know about other layers. And so those inefficiencies are tolerable in wired networks, but they can become very problematic in wireless networks. And so there has been a good deal of interest in what's called cross-layer design, which is allowing, let's say, for instance, the physical layer to talk to the network layer or the transport layer and have them sort of exchange information in a way that will optimize the sort of end-to-end transport of data. But we won't particularly get into that, but just be aware that that's an issue. Okay. So again, the layered model refers to packet-switched networks, not circuit-switched networks. And so again, initially, mobile telephony would have started out as a circuit-switched network, so the goal of your initial mobile phones was to provide end-to-end resource reservation over which you can could send a voice signal, so you're not the 64 kilobits per second of traditional telephone networks, but a compressed signal, but still a voice signal with a regular bit rate nonetheless. Okay. And so in this case, you would establish a connection and maintain the resources. Okay. And as we'll see, even within this, the physical layer and the data link layer in particular, the medium access control still have a role to play, and there is layering in the control portion in the setting up of these connections. Okay. So one thing that makes it difficult to talk generally about wireless networks is the fact that there are quite diverse applications of wireless networks and quite diverse design for wireless networks. And so I'm just going to sort of run through a bunch of them now. And when we get into the module, we'll start again with looking at some of these lower layer, so just data transmission issues, which is common to everything. And then we'll sort of look at some of the typical sorts of wireless networks and see how they're designed and sort of what the issues are for each type. And in particular, we'll look at cellular networks, wireless LANs, Bluetooth networks, etc. Okay. So one of the sort of most far-reaching examples of wireless networks is the cellular telephone network. And again, here the initial goal was to provide voice connectivity in a wireless and mobile fashion. And so in order to do that, again, complete coverage was necessary. And methods of, again, moving from a connection point to the next was required, so handover was required. Now, this has evolved from analog, so sending analog signals, to sending digital signals, and again, GSM would send digital voice over a fixed connection, so over a connection where all the resources have been allocated. This is now moving to an IP view of the world where packet switching will be used instead of a connection-oriented system. Okay. So another obvious example of wireless networks is wireless local area networks. And again, a fairly unambitious goal here of just replacing wires with radio signals, and allows you to move your laptop around within a certain range and not be tied to sort of plugging in somewhere. Okay. It's handy because you need relatively little infrastructure. You plug in one box and all your devices can sort of communicate with that one box. Okay. And it has the usual disadvantages of wireless systems, security, and relatively low bit rates and higher error rates. Okay. Another term you probably have heard frequently would be WiMAX, which is essentially a broadband wireless access strategy. So it's initial goal was sort of high bandwidth, high bit rate connectivity between a fixed access point and one or more terminals. And so initial uses for this were things like last mile services, so getting your TV or connecting from curbside to house, your data services, broadband networking. It's now recognized as an official 3G access technology. Okay. And so then we have a number of other examples of wireless networks. We've got wireless personal area networks, and the main example of this would be Bluetooth. And again, these are meant to be inexpensive and to hook up a number of devices within a very short range to provide a reasonably limited number of services. Okay. And another network which attracts a lot of attention in terms of research is the ad hoc networks. And again, these are envisaged to be very unstructured networks with wireless connectivity. And again, typically they're sort of developed for a very specific purpose. So that the hope is that you can have a sort of low cost networking to do, something very specific. For instance, if you have wireless sensor networks, you might be, tracking the migration pattern of birds. You put sensors on them all, and you allow these sensors to communicate with each other and communicate with some point on the ground. And the hope is that they'd be quite inexpensive. Okay. Initially, people were thinking, well, maybe if you've just got a bunch of people sitting together in a room with laptops, they'll hook up together, and again, you can forward. You can communicate from one to another without having to hook up to an official sort of network access point. Okay. And so these networks, we're not going to really, I'm mentioning them because, again, they are quite prevalent in the literature and being used for a lot of different things. But because of sort of the unstructured nature of them, we're not going to really look at them here. You'll look at one example, but yeah, that would be one example. And so, again, because they're unstructured, there's a lot of issues about how sort of various components of the network identify each other, how, you know, you hop from one component to the next in transferring data. And, again, if these are on the move, how do you support that? Okay, and there's a bunch of additional networks that, again, use their base as their basic signaling scheme, something on the radio or radio waves. Okay, so cordless phones, paging systems, satellite networks would be obviously huge, but again, sort of out of the scope of this, ultra-wideband radio, etc. And so what we see from all these examples is just that the systems are very fragmented. There's a lot of different design paradigms used to sort of, for very specific purposes. You can't say that there's sort of one type of wireless network in the same way you can sort of say, well, if you look at the internet, you've got a good idea of what's going on in wired networks. Okay. And so all of these designs are optimized according to their application requirements. Okay, so we have all of these different network types, and essentially, again, they're looking to operate in a fairly small range of frequencies, from megahertz to gigahertz frequencies. And so, obviously, since you have all of these different sorts of networks, they can't operate in the exact same frequency range, because they'd be sort of doing different things. You can't have two different things doing different things in the same frequency range. They'll interfere with each other. So, by and large, portions of this sweet spot, the place that they all want to be, are allocated to different forms of networks. And I'm not going to require that you know exactly who goes where, but again, it all gets portioned out. The majority of this frequency is regulated, so each country is going to have a regulatory agency that allocates spectrum. Okay. And so one issue with having this on a country by country basis is that, well, the radio waves aren't going to stop at a border. So if you go from Ireland to Northern Ireland, it's not, you can't sort of draw a veil there. And so there are sort of cross-border agencies as well, which attempt to harmonize the standards. So they will suggest essentially that certain frequency bands should go to certain technologies. For instance, you know, GSM gets its band, and then within those bands, all of the countries can attempt to sort of allocate to different entities. And so again, we see that we have all of these different technologies, and they operate in some cases in the same frequency regions and in some cases in different regions. So there is a possibility still of interference. Okay, now I'm not going to sort of go into gory detail on this slide at the moment. As we go through the module, you might want to occasionally flip back to it. It's a nice summary, and we'll be discussing all of the different technologies that are used in, you know, more or less detail. And so again, it's nice to have a comparison of sort of what technologies are used, what sort of capacity are you getting for those technologies, and of course that capacity is going to be played off against range. Okay. And so this slide's getting a bit old at this point, but there's, again, this interplay between mobility, how fast, you know, how much you can move around, and how fast data can be transmitted. Okay. So what are we going to do here exactly? Again, we're going to start with looking at the issues surrounding radio transmission. So we'll look at antennas in no great detail, but just to sort of observe what their basic characteristics are, and propagation. So how does the signal travel over distance? And in particular, obviously, the power of the signal decreases over distance. And we're going to look at how that power decrease occurs. Then we'll look at signal encoding and how encoding plays with plays with the sort of the rates that we can get out of the system and the loss that we'll experience in the system. Okay. And so we'll look at a number of different possibilities there. We're then going to spend a reasonable amount of time looking at cellular design and, again, how this universal coverage can be provided in a sort of reasonable fashion. And we'll look at traffic engineering in the context of cellular systems and how much capacity you can get out of a cellular system. So how many people can you support? Okay. We'll then do a survey of cellular networks, and we'll go from GSM to GPRS to UMTS, and we'll see what the we start with GSM just because it's actually relatively straightforward. Nothing about cellular networks is completely trivial. Telephone networks, if anybody works in that domain, knows, or they get infinitely complex, and there's an infinite number of acronyms and buzzwords and little bits to consider. But we'll start with sort of an overview of GSM, and then we'll take that through to how it evolves and from UMTS to LTE and LTE Advanced. Okay. And then, having done that, so that's a good bulk of the course, we'll also look at sort of other sort of common data-oriented wireless networks, such as Wi-Fi, WiMAX, and Bluetooth. And here, we're going to, again, particularly be interested in medium access control issues. So how do you share your signal, your medium? And we'll also have a look at quality of service in this context, sort of what can any guarantees be provided, what steps have been taken to provide guarantees. And finally, some word mention of mobility. Okay. So in what ways, so essentially in what ways do these differ from telephone networks, and in what ways, or cellular networks, in what ways are they similar? Okay. The assignment is going to be based on NS2, and so as we get further into the course, we'll have a little look at NS2 and how it can be used for modeling wireless networks. Okay, so this is where I'm going to call a break for the moment. And when, what I assume is that you've all had some basic networks course. Okay. And so again, you would have some feel for, if not wireless networks, then the basic principles of wired networks. Okay. Now, it's not an absolute requirement for this course. You can get by without having that, as long as you're willing to sort of read up as needed. But I would suggest that if you haven't had such a thing, if you've never seen a network before in your life, then do get some basic textbook. So these are three of the classics, but pretty much anyone will do. And just at least have a quick skim through. What I'm going to do when we return, and again just very briefly, is run through the network concepts that are sort of, that you really should have in the back of your head before starting out. And so again, if you've had any sort of networks book, networks course before, looked at anything about networks, that'll be quite straightforward. And if not, just again, familiarize yourself with the concepts. Okay, so we'll take, I'd say about a 15-minute break, and then I'll see you back here.